Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30 plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Cameron Wolf from the NFL Network. Cam, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Not much. How you guys doing this morning?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Cam, let's start on the quarterback front. What did you make of Russell Wilson heading to the Denver Broncos? A heavy price that the Broncos paid, but what does this do for them in the AFC West in your mind now that Russell Wilson's going to be their guy?
I think it puts them right on the cusp with Kansas City, AFC contender to win, you know, the win of the conference. I think Denver's, their defense has been ready for, even without this year, they were a top 10 defense for most of the year. They are literally one of the few teams who were a quarterback away and got their guy. And I'm a big believer in Russell Wilson. There's a lot of people who will tell you some of his flaws. He holds on to the ball long, wins one Super Bowl there. I think that he's one of the 5 to 6 elite quarterbacks in this league. And for the teams of those guys, they desperately need them, and they do everything they can to get them. So I think Denver, it made a sport going forward, and that AFC West is going to be very fun to watch with Justin Herbert, with Patrick Mahomes, with Russell. Somebody's going to be disappointed every year, probably sitting at home come playoff time.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. I mean, the AFC quarterback situation, Cam, compared to the NFC, even with Aaron Rodgers staying. But on the NFC side, first of all, what did you make of how that all went down? And now with Seattle, it looks like this could be just a total blow it up situation, which is interesting for me with Pete Carroll, and where he is in his career. But of course, there are some Deshaun Watson rumblings. There's going to be a lot more talk about him now moving forward. Where do you think they go?
Yeah, it looks from, the fact that they're releasing Bobby Wagner as well, the fact that they, get the haul from Russell Wilson. To me, that isn't a Russell Wilson haul. Maybe I had higher expectations, but I thought there would be three first-round picks. Situation head-scratching, at least in my end, on what the end goal is. This is a team that was already really with Russell Wilson. I talked to a couple coaches in the combine that said they're clearly the worst team in that division, and they didn't really see a path. So maybe path for them going forward, because that, we talk about the AFC West. The NFC West is very difficult. We saw this win the Super Bowl. San Fran's right in the mix at the end. And then Arizona, if they can figure out things with Kyler Murray, may have the best quarterback in the division. So I think they're looking at a situation, a various fork in the road spot, and they can either put all their attention and go out like a Deshaun Watson and say, hey, we're going to go to the elite quarterback route, or they can say, hey, we're just going to go through the draft and completely tear this thing down and start over. So I think we'll find out in the next coming weeks what that route is. I think the next big piece will be Deshaun Watson, assuming that some of his legal situation gets clarity, and you mentioned, I think, be in that conversation to some extent.
Cam Wolf from NFL Network on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Cam, what did you make of the Carson Wentz move going from Indianapolis to the Washington Commanders? What did you think of the price, and is this Carson Wentz's last shot in your mind to prove that he can be a starting quarterback at the NFL level?
I'm not going to lie to y'all. I was about to go on TV about 5 minutes before the Carson news, and I literally case and I laughed. And I'm like, man, we got another team. I think that, Carson, this is what he, 3 for him. I'm just, early on I was a big Carson Wentz believer when he was in Philadelphia. But as time goes on, you got to realize all these teams can't be wrong. And I think that you're his last option. In the NFL, if you're tall, you've got a big arm, and if you're athletic, then you'll always get another chance. and maybe that's why he's on chance three. But, you know, some of the rumblings about his off the field, that to me makes it even more confusing on, you know, why Washington's giving up assets the way they are. They took on his whole contract. They gave up 2 third-round picks. That's something you do for, you know, somebody who's sought after. And I'm not sure how many teams are actually seeking after a Carson Wentz. So that's really puzzling on my end from Washington's standpoint. Good for Indianapolis getting out of that contract and really, you know, calling it a sunken cost after they gave up a first and a third to Philly for him the other day. But there's a lot of teams in quarterback purgatory, which we were talking about Russell Wilson earlier, man. I think that's why getting a guy like him is so significant, because otherwise you're taking swings like Washington is with Carson Wentz and just hoping and praying it'll be different.
Yeah, that Washington franchise, you know, with some interesting decisions over the years. Well, I agree. I mean, it's a pretty good parachute for the Colts. So now what's their best move here, Cam? What if you were, you know, if you were Chris Ballard, who are you looking at to be your next new quarterback in Indy?
Well, you got to remember, Indy doesn't have a first round pick. They traded that to Philly for Carson Wentz. So draft isn't really a seeming, you know, a realistic option for them unless they're waiting until day two. So they've got to look at the free agent or trade market, and there's nothing out there in the free agent market that really excites me. I know there's been a lot of buzz, which confuses me about Mitchell Trubisky. I just don't see it. I don't know why all of a sudden you feel like you can fix this guy when last year he didn't have much interest. Our good old friend Marcus Mariota is back on the market. That would be some fun matchups twice a year. But again, that's another guy where I don't see that being a notable upgrade or, you know, from what you had before. So I think they'd have to look in the trade market and sniff around and see if these other teams will give up their guy. You know, whether it's a Jimmy Garoppolo out there in San Fran, that's the first name that pops into my head. He's a guy who's coming off of an injury, but he's very readily available. San Fran is actively shopping him. And for the right price, they would definitely ship him to Indianapolis. So that would be the first call I would make, especially with a team like the Colts, who are already built with a strong defense, with a really good offensive line, a good running game. They're a team that can fit in that quote-unquote game manager quarterback and still win. They just need somebody who can not shoot themselves in the foot. So that Jimmy G would be the first quarterback I would call. I might check and see if Vegas would listen on Derek Carr. They sound a little committed to him, but I would check. So I would look at something of that elk, maybe not one of the elite quarterbacks, but somebody who's proven they've done it for a few years and can help me, you know, consistently get back to where I want to be as far as a contender.
And what did you make of the Titans re-signing Harold Landry? 5 years, $87.5 million, $52.5 million guaranteed. What did you think of the deal, and how do you view the Titans in terms of where they sit right now within the AFC with Ryan Tannehill pretty clearly coming back and being their starter next year?
Yeah, I thought that the Harold Landry move was interesting because, like, a lot of times when you don't get the franchise tag, you always hear people say when you hit free agency, you're gone. And so there was a lot of feel like, okay, Harold Landry's not getting the tag, he's going to be gone. But I kept hearing that, hey, John Robinson really wants to re-sign this guy. And when you look at the deal he got, you know, 5 for $87.5 million or $52.5 million, that's a big commitment for, honestly, a guy who's only really had one significant, you know, Pro Bowl caliber season. So they're betting on continued production. Obviously, we watched that defensive line last year. In my opinion, that was a top three defensive line throughout the year, and Harold Landry was a big part of it. But it's going to be interesting to see in year two, can Harold Landry keep up that same production that he did, you know, once again, year two of that top-end production. They are paying him to do that, and now they're paying him and Bud Dupree, you know, almost $160, $170 million total combined, and Jeffrey Simmons is coming up, you know, as well. So I think they're putting a lot of commitment in that defensive line, and that's going to be the core of their team, and, you know, that's going to put pressure on everybody else to step up. So I think the Titans are in a spot where we saw in the combine John Robinson getting emotional. I think he knows their window is now. And, you know, there's a lot of questions in the league about whether Ryan Tannehill is the guy to get it done. But the Titans clearly are hitching their wagon to him. So there's very limited resources for them to significantly improve. So they're going to count on a lot of internal improvement, quarterback staying healthy with the receivers, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, and then Derrick Henry, of course. And it seems like more of a run it back format with maybe a couple pieces added. So the Titans were the one seed last year, but I'm very interested to see if they can keep that same quality of play when you see all these other teams around them making big moves.
Yeah, no question about that. So, Ken, I saw you in Indy. Just wondering if anyone that week really stood out to you. Maybe, you know, if you got a clear QB1 in mind now, or maybe even just another position where you came away saying, okay, watch out for this guy.
Well, as far as the quarterback, that's what everybody loves. This is obviously a weak class for that spot, but I actually was talking with a couple GMs out there in Indy, and everybody kept raving to me about Malik Willis. And he's an interesting prospect because he's not going to be a guy who teams believe is ready to step in week one and be able to play. He may be a sit-down for a year quarterback, which we don't see a lot in this league. But he's, you know, when you look for those quarterbacks in the top 10, teams often look for elite traits. And he's the guy who has the most elite traits out of any of the quarterbacks. He's got a cannon arm. I had one GM said that his arm like really surprised them and impressed them on how fluid it was coming out of the pocket. Mobility is something which is a requirement in this game. He had more rushing yards than any of these quarterbacks coming out, and he interviewed well. So to me, he's the guy who I came out of anything, and he's most likely to be the first quarterback drafted. And then outside of him, all these athletic big guys. I remember when a guy broke 5 flat at a 40, if he weighed over 300 pounds,
yeah.
That was the holy grail. And then you got a guy like Jordan Davis breaking 4.8. You got some of these offensive linemen running crazy. So to me, the most impressive thing is these big guys. Man, I couldn't run a 4.8 if I trained for 3 months, Joe. I'm telling you. There's a naive perspective from a lot of us regular folks that we're faster than we are. Trust me. Line up, get yourself ready for a 40 and see what time you run. I almost guarantee for like 95% of us, we're not breaking 5 flat.
Oh, God, no way. I will never do it again.
Cameron Wolf from the NFL Network, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. Cam, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Great stuff as always, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, appreciate you, fellas.
Absolutely. Cameron Wolf does a great job covering the National Football League for the NFL Network. We'll come back. We'll react to what Cam had to say there. Look ahead to the Preds and the Ducks coming up tonight as well. And as always, take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits at good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Cameron Wolf from the NFL Network. Cam, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Not much. How you guys doing this morning?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Cam, let's start on the quarterback front. What did you make of Russell Wilson heading to the Denver Broncos? A heavy price that the Broncos paid, but what does this do for them in the AFC West in your mind now that Russell Wilson's going to be their guy?
I think it puts them right on the cusp with Kansas City, AFC contender to win of the conference. I think Denver's, their defense has been ready for even without this year. They were a top 10 defense for most of the year. They are literally one of the few teams who are a quarterback away and got their guy. And I'm a big believer in Russell Wilson. There's a lot of people who tell you some of his flaws. He holds on to the ball long, won Super Bowl there. I think that he's one of the 5 to 6 elite quarterbacks in this league. And for the teams of those guys, they desperately need them, and they do everything they can to get them. So I think Denver it made a sport going forward, and that AFC West is going to be very fun to watch with Justin Herbert, with Patrick Mahomes with Russ. Somebody's going to be disappointed every year, probably sitting at home come playoff time.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. I mean, the just the AFC quarterback situation, Cam. Compared to the NFC, even with Aaron Rodgers staying. But on the NFC side, first of all, what did you make of how that all went down? And now with Seattle, it looks like this could be just a total blow it up situation, which is interesting for me with Pete Carroll, and where he is in his career. But of course, there are some Deshaun Watson rumblings. There's going to be a lot more talk about him now moving forward. Where do you think they go?
Yeah, it looks from, the fact that they're releasing Bobby Wagner as well, the fact that they, get the haul from Russell Wilson. To me, that isn't a Russell Wilson haul. Maybe I had higher expectations, but I thought there would be three first-round picks. Situation head-scratching, at least in my end, on what the end goal is. This is a team that was already really with Russell Wilson. I talked to a couple coaches in the combine that said they're clearly the worst team in that division, and they didn't really see a path. So maybe path for them going forward, because that, we talk about the AFC West. The NFC West is very difficult. We saw this won the Super Bowl. San Fran's right in the mix at the end. And then Arizona, if they can figure out things with Kyler Murray, may have the best quarterback in the division. So I think they're looking to get a situation. A various fork in the road spot, and they can either put all their attention and go out like a Deshaun Watson and say, hey, we're going to go to the elite quarterback route, or they can say, hey, we're just going to go through the draft and completely tear this thing down and start over. So I think we'll find out in the next coming weeks what that route is. I think the next big piece will be Deshaun Watson, assuming that some of his legal situation gets clarity. And you mentioned, I think, be in that conversation to some extent.
Cam Wolf from NFL Network on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Cam, what did you make of the Carson Wentz move going from Indianapolis to the Washington Commanders? What did you think of the price? And is this Carson Wentz's last shot in your mind to prove that he can be a starting quarterback at the NFL level?
I'm not going to lie to y'all. I was about to go on TV about 5 minutes before the Carson news. And I literally case you not laughed. And I'm like, man, we got another team. but yeah, I think that, Carson, this is what three for him. I'm just, early on, I was a big Carson Wentz believer when he was in Philadelphia. But as time goes on, you got to realize all these teams can't be wrong. And I think that you're last time. In the NFL, if you're tall, you've got a big arm, and if you're athletic, then you'll always get another chance. And maybe that's why he's on chance three. But, some of the rumblings about being off the field, that to me makes it even more confusing on, why Washington's giving up assets the way they are. They took on his whole contract. They gave up 2 third-round picks. That's something you do for, somebody who's sought after. I'm not sure how many teams are actually seeking after a Carson Wentz. So that's really puzzling on my end from Washington's standpoint. Good for Indianapolis getting out of that contract and really, calling it a sunk cost after they gave up a first and a third to Philly for him the other day. But there's a lot of teams in quarterback purgatory, which we were talking about Russell Wilson earlier, man. I think that's why getting a guy like him is so significant, because otherwise you're taking swings like Washington is with Carson Wentz and just hoping and praying it'll be different.
Yeah, that Washington franchise, with some interesting decisions over the years. Well, I agree. I mean, it's a pretty good parachute for the Colts. So now what's their best move here, Cam? If you were Chris Ballard, who are you looking at to be your next new quarterback in Indy?
Well, you got to remember, Indy doesn't have a first round pick. They traded that to Philly for Carson Wentz, so draft isn't really a seeming a realistic option for them unless they're waiting until day two. So they've got to look at the free agent or trade market, and there's nothing out there in the free agent market that really excites me. I know there's been a lot of buzz, which confuses me about Mitchell Trubisky, I just don't see it. I don't know why all of a sudden you feel like you can fix this guy when last year he didn't have much interest. Our good old friend Marcus Mariota is back on the market. That would be some fun matchups twice a year. But again, that's another guy where I don't see that being a notable upgrade or you know from what you had before. So I think they have to look in the trade market and sniff around and see if these other teams will give up their guy. You know, whether it's a Jimmy Garoppolo out there in San Fran, that's the first name that pops into my head. He's a guy who's coming off of an injury, but he's very readily available. San Fran is actively shopping him, and for the right price, they would definitely ship him to Indianapolis. So that would be the first call I would make, especially with a team like the Colts, who are already built with a strong defense, with a really good offensive line, a good running game. They're a team that can fit in that quote-unquote game manager quarterback and still win. They just need somebody who can not shoot themselves in the foot. So that Jimmy G would be the first quarterback I would call. I might check and see if Vegas would listen on Derek Carr. They sound a little committed to him, but I would check. So I would look at something of that elk, maybe not one of the elite quarterbacks, but somebody who's proven they've done it for a few years. And can help me, you know, consistently get back to where I want to be as far as a contender.
And what did you make of the Titans re-signing Harold Landry? 5 years, $87.5 million, $52.5 million guaranteed. What did you think of the deal? And how do you view the Titans in terms of where they sit right now within the AFC with Ryan Tannehill pretty clearly coming back and being their starter next year?
Yeah, I thought that the Harold Landry move was interesting because, like, a lot of times when you don't get the franchise tag, you always hear people say when you hit free agency, you're gone. And so there was a lot of feel like, okay, Harold Landry's not getting the tag. He's going to be gone. But I kept hearing that, hey, John Robinson really wants to re-sign this guy. And when you look at the deal he got, you know, 5 for $87.5 million or $52.5 million, that's a big commitment for, honestly, a guy who's only really had one significant, you know, Pro Bowl caliber season. So they're betting on continued production. Obviously, we watched that defensive line last year. In my opinion, that was a top three defensive line throughout the year, and Harold Landry was a big part of it. But it's going to be interesting to see in year two, can Harold Landry keep up that same production that he did, you know, once again, year two of that top-end production. They are paying him to do that, and now they're paying him and Bud Dupree, you know, almost $160, $170 million total combined. And Jeffrey Simmons is coming up, you know, as well. So I think they're putting a lot of commitment in that defensive line, and that's going to be the core of their team. And, you know, that's going to put pressure on everybody else to step up. So I think the Titans are in a spot where we saw in the combine John Robinson getting emotional. I think he knows their window is now. And, you know, there's a lot of questions in the league about whether Ryan Tannehill is the guy to get it done. But the Titans clearly are hitching their wagon to him. So there's very limited resources for them to significantly improve. So they're going to count on a lot of internal improvement. Quarterback, staying healthy with the receivers, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, and then Derrick Henry, of course. And it seems like more of a run-it-back format with maybe a couple pieces added. So the Titans were the one seed last year, but I'm very interested to see if they can keep that same quality of play when you see all these other teams around them making big moves.
Yeah, no question about that. So, Ken, I saw you in Indy. Just wondering if anyone that week really stood out to you. Maybe, you know, if you got a clear QB1 in mind now, or maybe even just another position where you came away saying, okay, watch out for this guy.
Well, as far as the quarterback position, that's what everybody loves. This is obviously a weak class for that spot, but I actually was talking with a couple GMs out there in Indy, and everybody kept raving to me about Malik Willis. And he's an interesting prospect because he's not going to be a guy who teams believe is ready to step in week one and be able to play. He may be a sit-down for a year quarterback, which we don't see a lot in this league. But he's, you know, when you look for those quarterbacks in the top 10, teams often look for elite traits, and he's the guy who has the most elite traits out of any of the quarterbacks. He's got a, you know, a cannon arm. I had one GM said that his arm like really surprised them and impressed them on how fluid it was coming out of the pocket. Mobility is something which is a requirement in this game. He had more rushing yards than any of these quarterbacks coming out, and he interviewed well. So to me, he drafted. And then outside of him, all these athletic big guys, I remember when a guy broke five flat at a 40, if he weighed over 300 pounds,
yeah.
That was the holy grail. And then you got a guy like Jordan Davis breaking 4.8. You got some of these offensive linemen running crazy. So to me, the most impressive thing is these big guys. Man, I couldn't run a 4.8 if I trained for 3 months, Joe. I'm telling you, there's a naive perspective from a lot of us regular folks that we're faster than we are. Trust me. Line up, get yourself ready for a 40, and see what time you run. I almost guarantee for like 95% of us, we're not breaking five flat.
Oh, God, no way. I will never do it again.
Cameron Wolf from the NFL Network, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Show. Cam, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Great stuff as always, and we'll talk to you down the road.
All right, appreciate you, fellas.
Absolutely. Thanks, Cameron Wolf does a great job covering the National Football League for the NFL Network. We'll come back. We'll react to what Cam had to say there. Look ahead to the Preds and the Ducks coming up tonight as well. And as always, take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. NCAA tournament is right around the corner, and it's time for you to sign up and play the official Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by Coach's Corner Sports Grill in Spring Hill and Days Delta 8 and Wager as well. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge or the Game Nashville app now and sign up to play. Brackets will be open after the teams have been selected on Sunday, March 13th. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Going to be joined by Preds assistant coach Dan Lambert coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. So looking forward to that conversation. Right now, let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We've got a texter that says, I don't want Jimmy G. He's injured. I would assume a Colts fan texting this in. I don't want Jimmy G. He's injured. Didn't he just have like shoulder surgery or something?
Yes.
I think that's right.
Yeah. But he'll be fine by the time the next season rolls around. He does get hurt a lot, though.
He does. There's no great answer out there, you know? But there's a lot of cap space. Maybe I can't point
Watson.
It out.
I never count it past the Houston Texans to do something stupid, like trading Deshaun Watson in their own division.
I mean, you could hope like they have Boomer Brand that day and forget that you're in their same division, you know, just for a moment.
I mean, of all the teams.
Yeah, they'd be a candidate. But to Cam's point there, I mean, it is ultimately for the Colts. I mean, we already knew that Wentz didn't work out. We already knew they were – down on him. I mean, Ursay saying everything, but like, I'm going to like drive him to another city. Zach Kiefer's story, by the way, he tried to clear the air with Ursay. Kiefer wrote the story. Wentz tried to set up a meeting with Ursay and that, sorry, I'm a little busy, man. Prank caller. I mean, so
I'm on the plane right now making, you know, videos before I take off. Yeah,
exactly. So the fact that they got anything other than just, you know, here, cut them and eat the dead money. The fact that they got the money off the books and got some picks for him is pretty good. But they also did invest a lot in him that they aren't getting back. You know, the first round pick this year could be real handy to them.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, well-deserved win in the beatdown yesterday, Joe, but you're taking it too easy on capless Stillman. Enjoy the show. Keep up the good work, guys. Go Vols this week and go Preds as well. It was a nice victory for you yesterday in Jared versus Joe. The salary cap not existing argument ultimately did Jared in yesterday to what we've come to know is an impartial judge in our fearless leader, Chase McCabe.
Yeah, interesting move by Caroline to have Chase. I mean, I don't blame her. Have Chase come in and do the judging. She called us bitcher and moaner. I want to know which one I am. Am I bitcher or am I moaner?
I mean, it depends on the day.
That's right. But that's, so that's the thing. It's like the salary cap, like, again, we all agree. Of course, it's like you manipulate it, and it's not like, this is the cap, here is your salaries, that's it. No. But Jared's trying to make the argument that the Titans are only going to cut Roger Saffold, which we all just assume, you know, because he gets hurt and they don't want him anymore. Well, I mean, if the Titans could have Roger Saffold as their starting left guard next year, they would absolutely have Roger Saffold as their starting left guard next year. I mean, like, so that's the thing. When you start making an argument to support a dumb thing you said, see, then you start getting into things that everybody knows isn't true. We all know it's not true. Hey, oh, yeah, Saffold gets hurt a lot. We gotta get him out of here. No, no. You would pay him. You would have him as your starting left guard if you could. But you can't because there is a cap that does exist. Joe, anyway, good job, Chase McCabe.
Very, very well done. Joe, the Nashville Predators taking on the Anaheim Ducks tonight. Ducks are 5 points back of the Predators in the standings. You're 1 point ahead of the Stars. Edmonton gets a big win last night against Washington after I thought they were just going to get robbed. They had an empty net, Washington did, and Edmonton, Zach Hyman had the puck and was about to coast in there scot-free. And Ovechkin might have had the most egregious hook in the history of the NHL did not call. And then Washington tied the game with less than a second left on a shot by TJ Oshie. And I thought Edmonton was about to lose in overtime. But they do have somebody named Connor McDavid. They get it done. So that, now they're 2 points behind the Predators, 1 point behind the Stars. Big game tonight against Anaheim. They just got thrashed the other day by the Blackhawks. So I would imagine they'll be ready to go tonight. If you can get this done, if you're the Predators, that puts some pretty good distance between you and the Ducks, which anytime you can put some distance between the teams behind you, that's a good thing.
Yeah. This is the of all the games this week, obviously, it's not the division rival. It's not the overall rival it used to be, but still a huge game, really important game. If you can bridge this into the huge weekend, that would be major for the Preds. And, you know, try to move out. I mean, there's just so many teams that right now are still in it. You could really do some damage to the Ducks by beating them in regulation.
You could. Little maybe rookie of the year matchup tonight, Tanner Jeannot and Trevor Zegras. Maybe a little extra oomph from Jeannot tonight. What do you think?
Maybe a little, yeah. Well, watch out. Watch out on the boards there, buddy. Yeah.
In all seriousness, I think that guy plays the same way every night, which is part of what makes him really good. Like, I think you know what you're going to get from Tanner Jeannot.
Yeah. And
Jeannot that you know.
Oh.
That was nice. Awful. I got to get out of here after that
one. Oh, man. Whew.
We'll forgive you, Robbie. We'll forgive you.
I think Ving is the big Jeannot, if you Jeannot on Twitter guy, right? Yeah.
He is. Ugh, that's
okay. That's all right, man. We'll give you a mulligan.
Yeah, big game tonight for the Preds. I don't even know if I deserve a mulligan on that one. We'll see. I mean, I assume at this point, based on Hines' comments the other day, you're probably leaving Forsberg and Duchesne with Johansson tonight. I don't think there's going to be a ton of lineup tinkering. Like, I guess we'll see if Mark Borowiecki can go tonight. And if he can, you'll probably see Ben Harper out of there. But again, Ben Harper played well yesterday. Want to make sure I make that clear. Played well yesterday, Joe Rexroad. So if you go with the same lineup, you're feeling okay right now if you're the Predators.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's been. I mean, you've made it clear that you are cool with Ben Harper now in the lineup. Yeah. So you'd like him to be in there permanently. So it's good to know.
They ruined my Matt Luff get the puck to Matt Luff T-shirt idea the other day. I'll just have to come up with another one for Ben Harper.
Oh man, yeah. Well, with the D pairings, let's see. Ultimately, in a perfect world, when they go into the postseason, it should be what?
I mean, if you're asking me, it should be Yossi Fabro, Ekholm Carrier, and then Benning Borowiecki. But that's my ideal. Now, having said that, the idea that all six guys are just going to be completely healthy coming down the stretch and in the playoffs is probably a little hopeful. So that's another spot maybe you look at the deadline if you're David Poile. I'm not spending much on it, like very minimal amounts of assets on it, but maybe that's something you take a look at if you're David Poile. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation on the Predators. We'll be joined by Preds assistant coach Dan Lambert coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Big game tonight for the Nashville Predators as they host the Anaheim Ducks. And to help us talk more about it, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Preds assistant coach Dan Lambert. Dan, what's going on? Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me, guys.
We appreciate you coming on with us. So, Dan, big game for you guys coming up tonight. Huge win the other night in regulation. How big was it for your group not only to come back in the third period in that game and get the 2 points, but to get it done in regulation against the Stars team that's right there with you in the standings?
Yeah, I mean, it's a critical part of our schedule. I think we'll be saying that often here over the last 27 games. But in saying that, in this particular game, we really felt like we played a really solid game. We didn't give them a whole lot, and we found ourselves down, you know, in the last 10 minutes of the game. But we stuck with it, and I thought it was really critical for us to continue to stick with it. Sometimes, you know, when you're down, you start pressing. Thought we didn't really do that, and guys did a great job of not panicking, just staying mentally focused, and eventually got it done, and it certainly took the whole 60 minutes.
Yeah, so Dan, you know, 2 games in a row, and I know the San Jose game, you know, obviously you guys had a huge offensive night, but 2 games in a row, it seems like it's been a really strong reaction in terms of what you're doing in the defensive zone, you know, being really tight, attention to detail, things like that. Did the Seattle game help, I guess, get that message across for you as a coaching staff?
Yeah, I think after the game, nobody was happy. The players weren't happy. We weren't happy. And obviously, we knew that it was important that we got back to the details of the game. Obviously that was enforced by John and the coaching staff, and the players really, like they've done all year, they've really stepped up, in whatever we've asked of them. It's really a positive thing for us, especially coming down the stretch here. We understand that we had a stretch where we weren't playing our best hockey or we certainly weren't getting the results. It's important now that we turn things around, and hopefully this is the start of what's to come.
Dan, what have you made of the play of the fourth line in the last couple of games? Obviously, you know, a couple of games ago, just racking it up on the score sheet. I thought they were really solid again the other night against Dallas with Michael McCarron and Philip Tomasino. Matt Luff was in there a couple games ago. Nick Cousins comes back in last game. Just what they bring to the table for you guys on a nightly basis, how important is their role in what they do?
Well, you know what? We have a lot of games coming up, and there is no doubt that we're a much better team when we can roll four lines. What they've done over the last little while is they've given the coaching staff confidence in putting them out there not just against the opposition's fourth line, but putting them out there against anybody, and we feel very comfortable and confident that they're able to do the job, and that's credit to the players, taking on that responsibility, giving the coaches confidence, and it's all really worked out. So, with the schedule that we have to be able to play four lines, and we're able to do that right now.
Are you happy with the switch, Dan? Moving, Forsberg and Duchesne with Johansson, then obviously changing Granlund's line. Like, do you feel like that has staying power?
We certainly can't. I think in a short or small sample size, we have been satisfied with it. We thought that Tolvanen and Granlund, Cunningham line did a real good job against Dallas's top line. And then that frees up Johansson's line a little bit with Forsberg and Duchesne just to be able to play against other lines. And that's what we were looking for. And I think it certainly worked last game. So I guess time will tell here because, you know, it might change depending on the opposition, but certainly worked against Dallas.
President Assistant Coach Dan Lambert on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dan, what stands out to you about this Anaheim team? Obviously a team that is, you know, fighting for a playoff spot and behind you guys in the standings right now. What sort of a test do you expect tonight at Bridgestone Arena?
Well, we know they've had a few injuries here as of late, but in saying that, they have a ton of speed. They're a young team. They're a team that pretty much has surprised everybody this season in how they've played and how they've they're just a relentless group. So we've got to play our game. We've got to be very stingy in the D zone. We can't give them easy offense because they do have some very good offensive, young offensive players. So we've got to do a job there. And at the end of the day, you know, we've got to take care of business. Every game is important. And obviously when you're talking about teams in your conference, teams that are right there with you fighting for a playoff spot, I mean, those are games that you have to play your best and give yourself the best chance to win.
Dan, we've talked some this year just about, you know, Roman Josi's been a really good player for a long time. Obviously, he's won a Norris, but at times maybe not even appreciating some of the things he's doing out there, you know, and maybe not talking enough about how it seems like he's even elevated his level of play, you know, to another level. From a coaching perspective, what's it like to, you know, to coach him and be around him every day and watch him and sort of maybe – you know, maybe probably not take for granted some of the stuff that we do on the outside.
Well, you know, there's no doubt that Roman is our captain. He's our leader. And when he's at our best, it gives our team a chance to be at our best. And, you know, there's things that he does specifically in the offensive zone that you're right. Because we get to watch him every single night, we just expect that of him. But he certainly can create. He's also, we feel he's at his best when he actually looks after the D zone first. And he's done a good job of that, obviously, not just last game, but all season. And which is why he's an all-star, which is why he's in the Norris talks every year or up there anyway. And so, you know what, he's a joy to coach, he's a joy to be around, and like I said, he's our leader, and when he's going, we're going.
And last thing for you here, we've talked so much about that herd line with Janot, Sissons, and Trennan ever really since they were put together last year. Even in that time, since they were put together last year and were really effective right from the jump, how much growth from that line have you seen, even from last year to this year, in terms of their all-around game?
Well, they've been, you know, you forget that really Janot is a rookie and he doesn't act like it. He doesn't play like it. He's a force out there. And it's amazing how the three of them together are so effective. And, you know, sometimes we've tried to put, well, whether it's Trennan or Janot on other lines, just to insert a little bit of whether it's physicality or speed or grit or... And it just seems like they're just better when they play together. You know, they just read off one another. They support each other. They are heavy on the puck and heavy for the opposition to handle. And obviously their physicality. It's a line that typically we need to go. And most nights they're probably one of our most effective lines. Not always on the score sheet, but just in how they bring that energy and that physicality. It's been great to have, and I know there's nights where the opposition, they don't like to see them line up against them because they know what's coming.
Absolutely. Dan Lambert, Preds assistant coach, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Dan, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Good luck tonight against the Ducks, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. Preds assistant coach Dan Lambert, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. It is that time of the week, time for the best and worst things in sports. Coming up on the other side, we'll have our submissions. Take yours as well, 615-737-1025. 1025. Let me tell you about my friends at Jasper's. Jasper's is a casual restaurant and bar located on West End Avenue, equipped with TVs, a game room available for private events, a grab-and-go market, and free parking. Yep, free parking. We know what a big deal that is in downtown Nashville. This neighborhood spot is Nashville's new go-to restaurant and bar, and you can try their selection of elevated bar food ranging from appetizers to great chicken sandwiches to flatbread pizzas and the famous Smash Burger, as well as any of their delicious cocktails as well. So visit my friends at Jasper's, located at 1918 West End Avenue. Once again, that's 1918 West End Avenue, and tell them that Robbie Stanley sent you.